Hello. We made
Okay.
it.
Finally, finally.
In front of that audience and the response. And I was just sold from then on. You know, she asked me, do I want to become a permanent member? And thus is Pretty in Pink.
Oh.
And yeah, the rest is history.
How old were you around
How
that
old
time?
are you?
No,
Excuse
how old were
me.
you? No, sorry, when you joined, sorry, no, so how old were you when your auntie?
Young. I just saw the not so good side early on of this business. So I decided, you know, this is not that that wasn't what I wanted to be a part of. On top of, you know, women are girls when we're growing up, we want to separate ourselves from our mothers and have our, I mean, I guess it's children and period. You know, you want to separate yourself from your parent and you want to have your own identity, especially when your parent is such a massive personality and an artist. You know, you want to be able to, you know, for people not to just call you such and such as daughter, you know.
For the what I saw you recently was versus singing.
Right.
How was that for
That
you? Did you did you know?
was crazy. That was crazy. Well, yeah, but I did my best. Hello. We made
Okay.
it.
Finally, finally.
Finally, my apologies.
No, that's fine. In fact, but yeah, my son had his eyes started to swell up. He's only 7 yesterday,
Oh,
and
no.
yeah, we went to the doctors today, and they said, oh, we're not sure what it is, so go to the hospital for them to scan. But they just said it's a bruise, so they've given him some eye drop. But yeah, 3 hours in the emergency rooms.
Wow.
It's quite a lot, so apologies for the extra hour.
Oh, wow. I understand.
Yes,
I'm
yeah.
a mom. I totally get it.
Yes, well, I appreciate it. Well, it's good to finally meet up with you after our ups and downs over the last couple of weeks and stuff.
Absolutely. My apologies.
Yeah, no. I'm out here in England. It is probably about 10:30 at night, but what it's helpful because everyone's gone to bed, so there's a lot of focus and concentration. Yes.
Okay.
But I do have an international audience, and they always like to start off by finding out where you're sort of born and raised, and so they can get a picture as to where our guests are coming from.
Okay, so I was born in Chicago. I was partially raised in Los Angeles and partially raised in New York City.
Okay.
So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Where would you
I'm
call
from all of
yourself?
the
So
major
you
cities.
don't have, you're not a native. You wouldn't, which where would you say it's your hometown if you had to pick?
Oh, that's horrible. Picking. That's so difficult. I guess if I had to pick. Because I'm in Los Angeles now, I feel very much so like an LA girl.
Okay, no, it's okay. Yeah, it makes sense, especially because most people when they move around, it's where they feel their heart is that they can call home and stuff. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I
But
mean,
most of my family is in Chicago, like my dad and everybody there in Chicago. So if that gives me more of a feeling of home, but not necessarily where I'm the happiest. So.
okay. Well,
No,
especially at this time of the year, Chicago is probably not as warm and as
that's
comfortable as Los Angeles. Yeah.
not where you want to be. Trust me. Yeah,
I mean, we're going to talk about your album. I've got a number of songs which I really enjoy and like, but I guess for most people, it's always about how you got into singing in the first place. I mean, from how did you start to get into singing in the first place?
I never wanted to be a singer growing up. I always wanted to be an attorney was one choice, and then a dancer was another. And then I also ended up going to school for computer science. So me and singing have had a very interesting relationship. But it all started when my aunt put together a girl group, and she put together this girl group, and she set up these showcases and everything. And one of the girls, I don't know what happened, where one of the girls got in trouble or something, and so she could no longer be a part of the group. And I was just sitting in for her. So, because they had a showcase coming up in like 2 weeks or something, and so they needed one more girl. So I was the one more girl, you know? And that was like my whole thing. I was like, hey, I'm only doing this because you need me. But then I got in front of that audience and the response, and I was just sold from then on. You know, she asked me, do I want to become a permanent member? And thus is Pretty in Pink. And yeah, the rest is history.
How old were you around
How
that
old
time?
are you?
No,
Excuse
how old were
me.
we? No. So when you joined, sorry, no. So how old were you when your auntie?
Young. How old am I really?
No, how old
Yeah.
were you? No, how old were you when? Because you said
Oh,
you're
how
talking
old
about
was I when all
compute,
that
yeah,
happened?
when computer science and stuff. So I was wondering how old you were when that you had to make that choice.
Well, when I was in Pretty in Pink, that was my teenage years, like from the time of 14 to 17.
Okay, so were you singing prior to that? That's what I was trying to picture. Were you
I mean, it
just
was only a hobby. It was only in the shower. It was only to Prince. It was my favorite artist, you know. It was never anything, like I said, that I considered professionally. I had other interests. I loved to dance. I loved to read. So I thought I was going to be an attorney. And I just saw the not so good side early on of this business. So I decided, you know, this is not that, that wasn't what I wanted to be a part of. On top of, you know, women are girls when we're growing up, we want to separate ourselves from our mothers and have our, I mean, I guess it's children and period. You know, you want to separate yourself from your parent and you want to have your own identity, especially when your parent is such a massive personality and an artist. You know, you want to be able to, you know, for people not to just call you such and such as daughter. You know, you're like, oh no, I have an identity. So that was a big part of it as well, that I said, no, I do not want to sing because I want to have my own identity.
But that seems quite different from a lot of other kids whose parents might be, either actors or singers and stuff would think, oh, this is an easy way to or to forge a career and stuff. You as you said, you decided seeing from the inside that that wasn't something that you wanted to go down the direction. And for people who might be tuning in and saying, "Who's she talking about?" So your mom is Chaka Khan,
Oh,
the
yes.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Took them 20 or 30 years longer than they should to induct her in, but So when your aunt said join the Pig and Pink, had you sing? You hadn't sung publicly. That was weren't you not nervous about singing in front of people about what, I mean, being judged and stuff?
I wasn't that nervous just because there were four other girls on stage with me. And I don't know that, I don't know what the hell was wrong with me. I wasn't nervous though. Now when I became a solo artist, that brought on tremendous stage fright. But I always felt like because I had them on stage, you know, that was like, I wasn't, the thought was people weren't staring at just at me, you know, they were also dividing the time. So it was fine with me. I didn't get the nerves until it was just me. And then I said, oh shit, I'm sorry, can
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
I say?
But I looked at you. I saw your interview on Video Soul with Donnie Simpson, and with the girls. And you sat in front. You felt very confident, like okay, this is very Yep, this is the girls, this is us, what we're doing. I was like, well, okay, look at the confidence in this. So I do wonder when you started, did you take that sort of lead role and be more be very confident in sort of speaking and doing press and TV?
Well, like I said, I wanted to be an attorney. So I did, I was part of the debate team and, and I did all kinds of things that would, I was in a program that, if you were trying to be an attorney or trying to do these things, I was a part of the school where, they cater to those types of things. So I was, I wanted to be an attorney, so they had me in classes that were geared towards that. And so I guess that sort of catapulted me into the front in terms of being the spokesperson for the group because, everybody else, I don't know. I was the one who sounded the most decent. I was the one who made it sound educated.
Yeah, well, it did come across that way, especially, in front of Donnie. I mean, I must say, I mean, being a big New Jack Swing fan, from Teddy Riley and stuff, to see that you guys teamed up with one of my, I've had her on the show many times, Tammy Lucas, who wrote All About You, and then even the
Oh,
guys
really?
from, yeah, and then Basic Black, so you had Mucho and Speck and Lloyd, who did the production, although Gene Griffin had his name all over the place.
Of course.
Well, I mean, for us, for us New Jack fans, it was like, oh, we it was, we were excited about what was coming on and stuff. How was it? Because, and I've seen you guys perform the track on Arsenio Hall, and I was like, wow, not only can they sing, but look at the dance moves. And that was needed to be a New Jack artist back in the 90s. You needed to know how to sing and dance, and you guys really just like, wow, look at the amazing performance. So that must have been a lot of work, not just to sing, but to learn to dance. How did you adapt to having to combine the two?
Well, we were very young. That is number one. Number two is that that was our manager's vision. She wanted an all-girl group, multicultural, that was singing and dancing. So we rehearsed like 6 days a week, always rehearsing, always rehearsing. And when we were singing, because we had a vocal coach, and the vocal coach would make us run in place while we sing, so just to make sure that our voices didn't timper, or there was no anything while we were singing and dancing. So it was a lot of preparation that went into that. It was not something that we just got out there and did. We had to train like athletes, so to speak, to make sure that we were on point when it came to our singing and our dancing.
How easy, but how, what was the chance of getting signed? Did your aunt already get the deal at Motown before you joined, or is it after you joined that she was able to get the
No. Because it was like it was first a group of girls. I think it was five. It was five of us. And we were called the Baby Doll.
record?
And so that transitioned into Pretty in Pink, because two of the other members were best friends with the girl that was kicked out that I was replacing. And it was just drama, girl shit. But ultimately, they left the group, and, my aunt decided at that point she wanted it to be multicultural because at first, excuse me, it was only black girls. So she decided, oh, I want an Asian girl, I want a white girl or other. And so that was, when she held the auditions, and we found Shay and Marissa, and they joined the group. Shay was white and Marissa was Asian. And so, then we became Pretty in Pink. And I forgot the question. What was
Hey, then how, when did Motown come along then? Did you already, before, did she already have the record deal at Motown before she put you
that?
together?
No. She, so yeah, at that point, she began to shop us. And
Oh.
we met a lady named Tina Clark, who had a relationship with somebody at Motown, and they were apparently looking for a group like this. And so we did a demo with her, and she decided, oh, I want to take in these girls to Motown because I know some people there, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, you were reluctant to get into music because you didn't want to be known as Shah Khan's daughter. Was there, that must have been something that they probably were trying to use to promote the group. How did that affect you? At the, was that pressure on you? Like, oh, are you going to be as good as your mom? Or, you know, was that ever a case?
Absolutely, it was pressure. And absolutely, we got with producers that were like, where is she? You know, and they wanted me to sing her songs, and you know, it was a lot. And it for a while sent me in a whirlwind, and as an artist, and how I was, you know, discovering myself and my lane and my voice, you know, made it extremely difficult because I don't know. I felt like I didn't want to disappoint people, you know? So I just, you know, I felt like at times people, you know, wanted me to do a Chaka Khan impression, and you know, and then it was difficult too because although that's my mom, you know, I still have inherited a lot of things singing wise just because I was in the studio when she was doing these albums, and I was there, you know, so that is impressionable. I was 10 years old, 9 years old, 4 years old, you know, very young, listening to this. This is the first, you know, kind of music that I really heard, other than, you know, who my grandmother would play or whatever. But, you know, this was up close and personal. So, there's a lot of influence there, you know, just because of that, because of the DNA, whatever. So, also with me trying to like push that away, you know, so and then trying to figure out my way, it was
Wow.
crazy. But I'm glad that I did, and I'm glad that I had the journey, because you know, when you do find your voice,
But
oh.
you know, it's important that you're saying this because there may be people who are watching who might feel pressured by their parents to be a doctor or be a lawyer or be a chef or teacher, and they don't want to follow that path. And if they do, they're saying, oh, you Mr. Jones's daughter's son, or you know, LeBron's your dad. Okay, you must be as good as dad. And I guess sometimes people don't realize the pressure they're putting on kids of famous people who are trying
Absolutely.
to form that. How did you manage then, knowing all the interviews you had, because you know, people are saying, oh, how's your mom? How are you as good as her? Then how were you managing that? Did people say, look, don't worry, they'll ask you this? Do you have coaches, people trying to support you through that journey, or?
I will say this, that the answer is always the same. I don't necessarily have any coaches. I'm authentically me. If you interview me, you're gonna get the answers that are in my head, not that some publicist wrote out for me to say. But I, like I said, I will say that, you know, a lot of people that have interviewed me, it hasn't been that interesting, and because they only want to talk about that, so. There, I have my own cookie cutter answers because I've been asked this question over 100 times. So
Yeah.
that's that.
What do you think when, you know, because I know the Good Girls were signed to Motown at that time. Boyz II Men was signed to Motown. Today was signed to Motown. Basic Black a year earlier. So there was this expectation that Motown were really trying to reinvent themselves with New Jack Swing.
Right.
But you had some really good producers on the Wake Up album, Chris Stokes, as we mentioned, Gene Griffin's team, Spider-Man and Freeze, John Barnes. So there was really good producers who were known for making big tracks. What did you think happened that the album didn't get the the success that it deserved based on the material and the production.
Played, as a kid, I didn't know about the politics of it all. Excuse me. As far as I was concerned, we were working. And where we went, people knew the song, So I didn't know that it didn't get the recognition that people thought it would get, or I knew at the end of that they wanted to Motown wanted to sign me as a as an artist,
Oh.
and they wanted to drop the group. And they wanted to sign me as the artist. So, I mean, I don't know if that says anything in terms of the album. But I mean, like I said, I never knew the politics. To me, it was a successful journey because, like I said, we were working where we went, people knew the music. And I was a kid, so that was I was wrapped up and enthralled in the fun of it all, I wasn't even really seeing it as a job. I was just doing what I do. I love to dance, so that
Yeah, but then when did Motown then reach out to sign you, or what did you decide to do?
was right up my alley. Well, this was the really crazy part about all of that, was that I had gotten pregnant with my daughter, and in the contract it had said we can't have babies, we can't get pregnant. So they decided that they wanted to kick me out of the group.
Wow.
So there was a big meeting about me being kicked out, and they were kicking me out, and lawyers were called, and people were talking, and all of this and that. But Motown was had offered me that situation. I didn't know that they were kicking me out, so I told Motown no. I said, if we're not together, I'm not gonna do it. And then I found out, oh, there. So yeah, that
Oh.
was that.
Wow.
It was a tremendous life lesson that was.
Wow. Wow. And wow. So, and this is, you didn't, you know, so they you didn't did they didn't know you were pregnant when they offered you the contract, but you told them no.
Well, no, they were aware.
And they still wanted to sign you.
They wanted to find me.
Oh, wow. Wow. So is this your aunt that kicked you out, or the other girls, or who?
It was the other girls, separate from my aunt, and but my aunt did find out about the meeting, and she did let me know.
Wow. So then, what? Then I guess you went to have your daughter, but what did you do afterwards?
Afterwards, I went to school. I
Okay.
went to school.
So did what? The computer science or a
Yes.
law? Oh, you went to do computer science.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. What was that like? Because that's a big, you know, you 1 minute you're performing on a senior hall. Yeah.
It was a big difference. It was a humongous difference. It was a change, but I guess it was something that I needed at that time because, I was feeling a little funky about the whole music business and everything, like, just from the situation with Pretty in Pink. And so I just felt like, okay, I need a break and I need to be a mom.
Wow.
And I need to figure out other things that I like, because that's not healthy just to throw yourself into a situation like that, and that is how you identify yourself. So, like I said, I decided, okay, well, this is something that I'm also interested in, and I want to pursue it, so.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about identity is a massive thing. When I'm not doing this, I'm a child therapist, and you know, a lot of people get wrapped up in who am I and identity, and if one friend leaves me, they fall out with a group of friends, then they've lost to their connection. And for you to be able to see yourself outside of being a singer and be able to pick up something really different. I mean, when you finish, what were you planning to do as a, what was your degree? at the time?
I only have an associate.
Okay.
I did not complete and get my bachelor's, but I wanted to design video games.
Okay.
And so that was my end game goal, was that I wanted to design video games. I wanted to be a programmer.
Okay. While you were doing this, the 90s was really, New Jack's and sort of ended around 1992. Then it was a lot of R&B, SWV, Total, Jade. I mean, like name on and on. Did you ever reflect on, man, this could have been us, or how was that like?
Well, definitely. I was doing little things here and there. I mostly was singing. I had some things going on in Japan, so
Japan.
I started doing music overseas at that point too, as while I was going to school. So
Oh,
that was
how?
interesting.
Why
Like they
Japan?
have this situation where they have hits, and they want them reinterpreted in English. And other producers do the tracks, and it's a whole thing. So I was doing a lot of those. I was reinterpreting the Japanese hits, and it was crazy. It was like to reinterpret it is just not reinterpret, but to interpret it into English, which is very strange because the phonetics are different, and the word, so it was just it didn't make sense a lot of time, but.
Was this sent back to Japan, or was it released in Europe?
Absolutely. It was in Japan, and they were, making it. I don't know what it was doing, but it was over there. That's I knew they paid me to do the music and sing the song, and what they did with it, I don't know, but I remember that experience, and like I said, that was really funny.
Yeah, but then that must have been actually the fact that you could sing without having to go on the road and face all the drama. That must have been a nice sort of backup thing to do.
Yeah, it was a nice artistic outlet, and kept me, in the game, even though I wasn't really in the game.
I mean, because if we're trying to think about the fact that you've come out with your album now, but then you come to the late 90s then, and you finish from your programming. Are you then singing, performing, or are you designing software, or
No, I'm not designing software, but I did get my associates, and after that I sort of started just testing the waters a little bit. I had a few jobs. I did work for the city. I worked for the public affairs in downtown at City Hall. So I had a few I was doing a few things, and I was still always keeping one foot in that situation and one foot out. Soon after, I moved to New York City, and
from
that's
Los
when
Angeles.
from LA, yes, I was living in LA, and then I moved to New York, and that's when I started really pursuing my singing again, and met this producer, Damien, and we did a bunch of music together. I did a lot of performances. I did Daughters of Soul. I don't know if you're familiar with that,
No.
but it was a ensemble, and we toured all over Europe, did all the festivals. But it was Nona Hendrix, Denise Williams, Simone, Nina Simone's daughter,
Wow.
Layla Hathaway. It was a beautiful ensemble. It was a lovely show. We did that for about 5 years.
Wow.
That's been what I've been doing. Been working behind the scenes a little bit. Did some I did a early 2000, I did a demo for Kylie Minogue, the
Okay.
song Spinning Around.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's me on the background. They don't give me any credit, and I'm right now I'm in a situation where I'm trying to get my due. But definitely, that's me on the background. You can hear it.
No,
Doesn't matter. That's me.
so most
But
people might, most people might not know, but because I moved in England to England around that to early 2000, and that was probably one of the biggest songs of the year. that's spinning around and actually took her to another level. So I said, wow. So you demoed it, and she then said, yeah, I want to sing it, and they kept your vocals
They
on
kept
there.
my back. They didn't get gave me no credit. But yeah, right now working on trying to get my due. But yeah, so I've been behind the scenes,
Yeah.
definitely working over in Europe and doing things, projects.
Okay, so why did you decide to get back in to perform when you went to New York? What had happened that you just thought, you know, maybe I should get back into singing?
It's just like I said, it's like this crazy relationship, you know? I try to walk away from it and I
Yeah.
try to do other things, but where my heart is where my heart is.
Yeah.
And, you know, call me crazy, but it supersedes all logic, I guess. And it just is like, this is what you have to do, you know, period.
Yeah.
This is within your heart, you know. So here I am.
So I'm fascinated that as a kid, you were running away from your heritage in a sense, and then you agree for 5 years to do something that actually says that means that you have to embrace your heritage. How
Exactly.
was that a hard decision? Did they have to negotiate or say, oh, hey, here's.
No, I feel like once I became a mother, it gave me a whole different respect for my mother. And it made me kind of proud that she was my mom. And so things like that were easier to do because, I mean, she's my mom, like, you know, they go, well, not long. You know, and I began to see it more so as a family business and as a legacy and as something that's really important. And I just want to represent that, and I with, you know, with the utmost, because I have children that may want to sing or may want, and I want them to be attached to something that is amazing. And if I can help that and facilitate that,
Yeah.
then I'm here for that. Absolutely.
During that 5 years, did you have to sing, you know, I'm Every Woman and Fruit of Fire and all those songs?
I did have to sing one of her songs. But no, they let me absolutely sing other people that I was inspired by. So that was really awesome. And they let me sing my own music. So it was definitely an amazing platform. Thank God. Kudos to Sandra St. Victor, who put that whole thing together. Like, she's amazing. So she's from Ghetto Heaven, from
Oh yeah,
Ghetto
the
Heaven.
oh goodness, I've lost the it's in my head. Oh, I can't remember. I know, yeah, I can't remember. Lord, I can't remember. Yeah, I know the group. Yeah, Jack McGee took over when she left the group, but I can't remember the name. Oh, you made my head spring. Anyway, I'll move on because my head's scratching trying to remember.
As soon as you lay down tonight, you're gonna be
Yeah,
like,
you know what happened? People are going to be watching this, and then they're going to be shouting out the name of the group. So I'm going to quickly put it get oh the Family Stand.
Family Stand.
Yes, okay. I know people are going to be typing, oh, it's Family Stand, and I'm like, okay, let me dupe them to it. But I also noticed that I've interviewed Nikki Howard on the show, and I noticed that you
I sang background on one of her albums too.
yes, but also you acted in her TV
Oh, her
movie.
biopic, I played my mother,
Yeah,
yes.
how did you agree to do that? Was it an easy decision, or was it like,
But I'm also an actress. So when I got the opportunity, I read the script and I first spoke with my mother and I said, are you comfortable with all of this? Like, are you cool with it? You know? And then I went for it. I had to audition just like
Oh.
everybody else. But I got the part, and the rest, you know, here I go again. The rest is history. But it was very challenging. Just because, and it wasn't so challenging when I was doing it. It was challenging to watch it afterwards. While I was doing it, I was able to remove myself and, you know, really commit to being her. And who can't play their mom? Like right now, if I said, act like your mother, you do it, right? You can be the best person to do it. So, you know, in that respect, it was a no-brainer. And it was maybe a little easier than if I played a prostitute or whatever else. But at the same time, like I said, you know, I was committed to the part. And I was just on autopilot, so to speak. But then to go back and watch it, you know, it was just like, oh. And even in some of the scenes, you know, the whole cast would be silent. You know what I'm saying? Because it would be a scene that was not so flattering for my mother. But there I am playing her. So it was just like, you know, right out of some kind of psych ward or something. I don't know. I don't know what people were experiencing watching it. But for me, you know, it didn't bring up any feelings until I was able to watch it. My kids can't even watch it. Like my son refuses. He can't watch me cry. So he's just like, no, that stirs up emotion in me. So I don't like it. So, and I respectfully, you know, I respect that.
Did you were you able to go do other films and projects after?
I've done a lot of plays. I haven't.
Okay.
That's the first, my first TV our film experience. But I want to. I'm definitely open to it. I'm auditioning all the time and, you know, trying to make that happen because that is also a passion of mine. I've studied art. I've studied acting. I've been to acting schools and my grandmother put me in all kinds of everything. So I have a little bit of experience in everything, right?
I would have thought doing plays would be a little bit harder because you have to remember your lines. There's very little room to make mistakes, at least when you're acting behind cameras. You know, you can mess up and they can retake and cut.
Well, I feel like with plays too, like you have to be able to improvise because the show must go on. It really must. So if you mess up those lines, if you're not quick enough on your feet to figure it out and, you know, get back on that, you know, where you're supposed to be, then, you know, that's really where you exercise that muscle is like, okay, can I act? Is this going to be interesting or is it going to be like watching a train wreck, you know? So
Is it after you did the Daughters of Soul that you moved back to LA after the 5-year run?
no, I was in New York for a little bit longer. And then I moved to North Carolina. And when I moved to North Carolina, that's when I started doing the gospel plays.
Gospel plays.
And I started, imagine that. But yes, I did gospel plays, and that was really great. I mean, because it incorporated the acting and the singing, so it was good. I liked it. And like I said, I really got to work my acting muscle because, you know, if you're on the spot, Johnny, it's not, you don't get to take another take or all that. You got to do it now.
During when you're doing these type of things, how confident are you that they're hiring eye candy or Mimi or just you, and your heritage isn't brought up as in, okay, this is gonna be great marketing because you know, from your experience as a kid, but when now you're getting these shows by yourself, is there anything in your head thinking, are they hiring me? Forget the love under management because that's very different because that's a very personal experience and it's actually good that they got, got you to play and bring more authenticity to the role. But other things, no, not the Daughters of Soul, but it's like the your plays.
I believe that that could be a reason, but I guess people, I guess I'm blessed that I can get my foot in the door, because once you're there, you still have to prove yourself. You can't be crap, you know, because it's not gonna work. So, I am grateful that that is the case sometimes. But I'm also grateful that I have the ability and I have the talent, and I can step up to the plate and make the things happen and make them understand that, yeah, that is a part of my lineage, but I am also talented and I'm also very able.
But that's important that you said that, because unlike if if your dad was the president and he put you as a chief of staff, there's 100 other people doing the job, so you could just hang around and do nothing. But when you're going in to act or perform, there is no hiding in that. So, people are gonna see, like, we've paid to see this, and if it's not good, they'll let you know. So that's actually, in some ways, very brave of you to be able to say, oh, there may be expect I can't let my guard down, and and really work hard to actually show that, actually, forget who my lineage is. You're getting me, and you're getting the talent that I have, and getting people to appreciate that. And I would assume your cast members would also get to see you and know you and appreciate you, and not about the whole thing behind the scenes and stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And now, the fact that then how did the bug come to say, okay, I want to come back and do music, even my own music? When did that sort of change and that sort of happen?
Well, like I said, when I after I went to school and I had a few jobs, and I was still doing things for overseas in Japan, I moved to New York. And when I moved to New York, I met this producer named Damien DeSantis. And he, was just so amazing that I started writing music with him. And before I knew it, we had like a project. And so, we were, shopping it, and I was performing it all around New York City and in Europe when I did the festivals. So that was, it just sort of evolved into that. It wasn't like a decision, or it wasn't like something that I woke up one morning and I just started going to the studio. It was something that gradually happened, and I looked up and turned around, and not only did I have a project, it was dope. And I was like, what am I, why would I do anything else? You know what I'm saying? Here it is, here's the evidence. This is what I need to be need to be doing. So and it felt good. And so I just kept doing it.
So, were you recording this while you were doing the Daughters of Soul and the
Some of
gospel?
it, yeah.
Okay.
Some of it, yes. Some of it, yes. I worked with other producers. I worked with this other producer named Chandler during that time. I was, New York is like a hosh-mosh of artists.
Yeah.
If you want to do live music, or if you're any kind of performer, that's the place to be, because you really can thrive there, because there's so much. It's just dripping with authenticity and creativity, and it just, it's a city that's alive, like literally feel it breathing as you're walking down the street. It's just alive,
But as you're recording your stuff, then you're in North Carolina doing the gospel tour shows. Are you still recording music then, or did you just put that on hold working with Damien and
No, when I went to move to North Carolina, I still was recording. I was working with another producer down there. I didn't think we got to but maybe three or four songs. And I think he placed one of the songs with a jazz artist or something, but I'm really bad at my business. Like, I really got to get my stuff together, like for my discography, because I'm not gonna have like one page, but I've done like so much stuff. I gotta get the names together. I gotta call people. What's the such and such name again? But yeah, so I was in North Carolina also working with that producer and doing the plays. And then I got pregnant with my son and I moved to Los Angeles. And yeah, I've just been doing music.
When you did the demo for Kylie, was that in New York then, or?
That was when I was living in New York, yes.
Okay.
I did it with Ira Shinkman, who wrote the song.
Okay.
Because I think it was originally for Paula Abdul. That's what he told me. And so I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, don't sing so much, but just, sing it straight. So, and so that's what I did. And he was like, yeah, somebody else wanted it. So, and I was like, okay, well, but I just was paid for a demo. So I don't care who buys it or, I did my job, right?
Yeah.
But when the song came out, my aunt was living in Europe. My aunt was living in London. And she said, that's you. She's like, that's you. And I was like, I paid her no mind, honestly. And I was like, yeah. Maybe she sang it like me or something.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
my aunt was like, no, that is you. And until I heard it, I was like, God damn it. I didn't even say she sang it, No credit, no nothing. So that's what we're doing now.
Okay. So were you right? When did you start learning to write? Because you mentioned you started to do writing. I mean, because was that something you've always been doing, or you started to do when
Absolutely.
you? Okay.
Absolutely. I've been writing since Pretty in Pink. I think I wrote one song on that album, on Wake Up.
Okay. So then you got to New York and you started to write more. So, because when you're doing that, is it more like, I've got some song, let's just vibe and the music just sits there, or how, because for those of us who are not singers, it's strange to see you just writing songs and what happens to them. We expect you write a song, it just gets sent out, but
I think it's a different process all the time. I don't have a formula, sorry. But there's sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and it's a song in my head and I write it, jot it down or whatever. Sometimes I hear music and it inspires me. I get inspiration from everywhere and everything. It's really weird, but that I get inspired and that makes me write what I write. Sometimes it's really hard to get when I get into the studio and I'm like, okay, now you gotta, you know what I'm saying? It's easier when I'm just cleaning the kitchen and I hear something and it comes to me that way, than when somebody's standing over you and like, okay, we gotta get this song done, but like I said, my inspirations come from everywhere.
So how soon after you moved to LA to give birth to your son, did you then start thinking about putting out and coming up with your own EP album?
That was a process too, because in the beginning I was just hell bent on, oh, a label has to do it and it has to be this way, and until I figured out, like, just put out the music, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to do all the, just put out the music, that's what I did. But like I said, it was such a process, because at first I was running around trying to get, the label to sign me and this person and that. We're dealing with all kinds of fugaziness, and, until I just figured out, like, hey, nobody's gonna care like you care. And if that's the case, then maybe that you're just the girl for the job. So put it out, So that's what happened.
But okay, I think the first thing is, when did you decide to rebrand yourself? ICANN. How did that idea come about?
Honestly, I can't take any credit for that. My producer now, Caviar, the secret specialist. He was like, because originally I wanted to name my album Icon, and he was like, while we were in the studio and we're doing, he was like, "What are you gonna name?" I was like, "Icon." He was like, "No, it needs to be your name." He's like, "That." So he, and so I was like, "Okay, well, all right." Let's try it.
Well, what were you going by before then? Before you decided, what were you trying?
I was going by Indira.
Okay.
Indira, Indira Khan.
Okay. But then, how long ago did you start working on this particular album that you've got out now? Where would you say you really started putting them together, the
This has
track?
been like 3 years.
So during lockdown?
I'm sorry.
During lockdown, COVID, did you start to?
Oh yeah. This was during lockdown.
So
Right
whenever,
before it started, yeah.
okay, so right before lockdown started, you had songs from New York and North Carolina and stuff. Did you decide, okay, I'm going to start afresh and out and try to put
Yeah.
it to... Okay.
I started a fresh project with Caviar.
And when did you decide, when did you give up on a label coming and signing you and going for that project, and you decided, okay, we have to do this ourselves?
I decided that it was before I was working with Cavi. I don't know what made me put those songs aside. I feel like why I put those songs aside, because it was just a hodgepodge of producers, and it was hard to get in touch with people. It was things changed. It was just such a headache getting all the credits together for that situation,
Okay.
that I was it was just easier for me to just work with one producer. The credits are there, everything is there, and I don't have to worry about putting music out without people's permission or things like that.
As a the song that you wrote, is there no like, oh man, I really love that song. I wish I could have. Was there none of that? It's like, or do you?
Absolutely. All my songs, I feel like they're my babies. So not just, I think it's a great song. I have emotional attachment to these things, because this is like soundtrack to my life, some of these things, So yes. But I also understand that that's not the only good song I'm gonna put out, or I'm gonna have, or I'm gonna do. I've got a lot in me. So it's okay, it's a casualty, so to speak, but I'm looking towards the future, and I'm happy about it. I'm happy about where I've been, and when I feel like I want to hear those songs, I guess I listen to them. I can play them for my friends,
Yeah.
stuff like that.
Well, I mean, when we talk about the album now, there were a number of songs that I actually that really stood out for me. Love Ship has a very 90s type of vibe. What can you tell me about the concept of putting that together?
Well, I didn't write that. It was, I don't know the writer, because that was Cavi. He brought the song to me, and he was like, "Listen, your voice would be amazing on
Yeah.
this." And so I just did it, and it turned out amazing. It's one of my favorites as well. But this album, I was going through a divorce, so a lot of the music, even though I didn't write it, my producer had no idea. Cavi had no idea that I was going through whatever I was going through. But he was bringing me these songs, and I was like, damn, this is, if I wrote, if I would write this, if I was writing to this, you
Wow.
know? So it fit me so well. You know, I'm not one of those artists that I don't want to, I can't sing it if I don't write it. A good song is a good song. And so I'm glad I recognized that, and I'm glad that I did it. But that was one of those songs where I was like, this is the bomb. So yeah, happy to
Wow.
do it. Happy to give my interpretation of it.
Yeah, I mean, so I really enjoyed that. Another one was Cry at Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed.
That one is like I said, he was just bringing me this music, and I was like, God, this is sort of how I feel, you know? And it was kind of like theatrical, so that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I like that song. It was in the beginning, I was just like, it was so different that
Yeah.
I didn't, I was like, I don't know, I don't know. I was very unsure about it. And then I was like, epic. Put it on. I like it. Put it on. So
Who's Dana
here we
Dane?
are.
Is it?
That's Dana Dane. And that's the other part. When he put down, I was like, okay, we're putting it out. Okay. Dana Dane, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think this not be the hip hop legend from the 80s and 90s, Dana Dane. So wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's like royalty in the hip hop world, in
How
my
did
book.
that connection come? Did he know? Did he just?
No, through my producer, Caviar, he's also a rapper. So
Okay.
he knows, you know, a lot of these guys. He knows everybody. And so he just happened to be around, you know, in the studio hanging out. And I was like, look, that's Dana Dane, you know? So got on the track. That was amazing. I was so grateful.
Yeah, I was wondering, how come that did you get? Yeah, was there a plan to shoot a video and release the single? Or...
Well, no, we're in the process of editing the video. So, because you know, Dana's so busy, everybody's been so busy, so we're trying to get everybody's schedule together so that we can have a congruent looking video.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're in the process of that. So stay tuned, look forward to it.
Yeah, and I actually liked Bye Bye as well. What was the did you?
Bye bye.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't write that one either, but like I said, I was going through divorce. So I was like, what? I need this. I'm singing it myself, you know? So yeah, that was lots of fun to do. Very, very relevant to my life. And I loved giving my interpretation. Once again, it was lots of fun.
Yeah. What about Sea of Love?
Sea of Love, I co-wrote.
Okay.
Yes, I
Okay.
co-wrote that with Chandler and his wife Karen, and that was like, as soon as the track came on, I just start singing the chorus. Like, what? This is what it is. And the next time we came in the studio, Karen and Chandler came to visit me, and they're like, "What are you working on?" And I played it, and they came with the verses, and here we are.
Yeah. Is does it become a time when how hard is it to be able to focus on being a recording music in the midst of something like a divorce? Because that they don't sound, especially those of us who watch American divorces, they always seem, we saw Love, L.A. Law, and Ally McBeal. They don't look fun. So I don't know how you could manage to go through that and sing it. Just to,
It is, like I said, it is an outlet for a lot of things for me. So, I sing when I'm sad, I sing when I'm happy, you know. So going through that, it seemed natural. That's what I do, you know, how I it's my therapy, is to be able to sing and write music and just dive into something else. Sometimes it helps me get my mind off of what I'm going through, and sometimes it helps me figure out what I'm going So it's definitely not just a creative outlet, but it is a emotional one too when I'm going through things.
So now that you've finished the album, what is the, because we know, for those of us who are, consumed music in the 90s and the 80s and early 2000s, there was such a joy to go to a record store, a Best Buy or not, buy an album, you play it in your CD player, and you knew it cost you some money, but you owned it and you had your racks. Music doesn't seem to have the same value as it once did. We don't, we're not really watching up to see the video on Video Soul. We just see it on YouTube anytime. So we don't necessarily have CD players or any ways of playing CD. So it's either streaming service or listening onto YouTube. That then means the artists who invest all that money and time and energy and effort don't seem to make as much as they probably would when they would put all that energy in. As an independent artist, I mean, what is the incentive for yourself to go through all this hard work and create something as beautiful as this album, knowing that there may not be the same return if you had done it 10 or 20 years ago?
The incentive for me is because I know how music has impacted my life. And it's why I do it, because like I said earlier, music is my life soundtrack, and not just my music, other people's music. I can listen to a song and I can know what I was doing when that song came out. What was going on in my life? What, I can, they take me back, whether it's good or bad. And I always remember, like, also just listening to music, and it's like, this is how I feel, and just sitting with that music. And it's just so important. It can heal you, for God's name. So that's why I do it. Because I know there's somebody out there is going to be listening to me, and they're going to be like, God damn, this is how I feel. This is what the soundtrack to my life. I want to be a part of that.
So, I mean, which is noble and good, and I guess, and I guess it's just trying to still anyone who's watching, who's an independent artist, thinking, how do I put the energy and effort into making music and trying to make a living out of it? What advice would you give?
The advice that I would give is although I like it sounds so crazy, but you can't do this for money. This is like one of those things, you can have passion, you can have all the things, but money. If you're doing this for money, then you're going to be re really disappointed and really depressed. What I did, like I said, you got to have a side hustle. You got to have something else that you can do when it slows up, because you will, and you have to be creative in ways to make money in this business because it is a lot of things, and a lot of ways that, and avenues that you can go that are lucrative, and that could possibly support you while you're on your musical journey. And you don't have to go sit behind a desk and things like that. But it's just been my experience that when I say, oh, I'm doing this for money, it's that's when it's the hardest to get it. If I do it and if I do it for passion and, and all of these other reasons, and it's really nice that I can get paid and understand that, that understand my worth. But at the same time, like you said, it's very difficult. But it would be so much more difficult if I sat around like, oh, I need money, I gotta do it. You know, that would be like maddening, you know, how I wouldn't get anything done.
Yeah.
So
Well, what about
that's my
supporting
problem.
the what about the supporting the album, which live shows? Because that's an average revenue stream.
That is that, like I said, being creative, you say, oh, you know what? I know if I do a show here, I'm gonna make that money. And that is where all the artists are making their money. We're not, like you said, we're not making it from digital streams.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're making it because we're going out and we're performing this music. So, you know.
So, are you performing much to support the album?
Well, I am working on setting up a tour to support this album. Looking into city wineries, whatever city near you. Hey, tell the people in London you want me out there. But yeah, that's what I'm doing is putting together a tour, letting people know that the album is out and I'm trying to promote it and what's up, you know?
Yeah, I mean that was the other thing I wanted to find out then is that if you do go on tour, are you one that does performs with a band, or or is it, you know, what would they expect if they saw you on in a show?
It depends on the venue,
Okay.
but I am, you know, flexible with that. I can perform with the DJ. I can perform with the band. You know, the music is amazing. I feel like the vocals would be great and you would be entertained, you know. So, but like I said, it just depends on where I'm performing. If it's more intimate, then I can scale it down. If it's a big venue, then I have my band and we're ready.
Yeah, if you did what your set list, what would be, because I gave you some of my favorite songs off your album, but what would make your set list of your favorite five songs off the album?
Pretty down. Like, I think that would be pretty damn close to my set list. You picked out some bangers, but I mean, like I said, I love so many of the songs on the album, but you picked some pretty good ones. I think at least three of them that you said would be on that set list.
Okay. I mean, can you let people know where they can is the who's distributing the album? Is it a company that you formed, or have you tied to, teamed up with somebody else to to distribute your album?
No, I'm on Canon Entertainment. And it is Caviar's label.
Okay.
And yeah, that's where you can find me. But I'm on all media
Oh,
platforms
stream
for
services and everything.
my album. So you don't have an excuse. Go get
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You can hit me up on the Icon Official at Instagram. You can hit me up on the Icon Official on Facebook. I'm where you need me to be.
I mean, as I said, it's definitely some really good tracks that we went through. And especially in this day and age, as I said, I really was a big fan of Love Ship and Cry at Night and Sea of Love and Bye Bye. And I thought, wow, this is a nice group. And it'd be interesting to be able to see you perform those live, I guess, or see, because we can, it's a very different thing. We're hearing the tracks, but it's to be able to see you actually singing them, how and how you might interpret them. Would really be good to see. I mean, but as I said, you said you're up looking to put some stuff together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You'll be the first to know when I have it all together, my dates. I'll send them right to you, shoot them right to you.
Yeah, please do, so we can push it out. So
Yeah.
I always end when I ask my guests that if you were stuck in a lift and elevator and you had your favorite movie to watch, what's your favorite movie that you'd like to watch in, you know?
In the elevator.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be an elevator, but the question was always, well, what's your favorite movie that if you were stuck somewhere that you said, you know, I've got to watch my favorite movie.
Okay, so I don't know. I love the Joker, and then
Oh,
I
the Joaquin
love
Phoenix
also,
one.
oh my God, yeah, that's a great movie. And then another one of my favorites is Bridesmaids.
Okay.
That is hilarious. I love that movie. It's just cracks me up. So
Okay.
I don't know. I'd have to flip a coin between those two. I probably would want to laugh. It'd probably be Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaid, okay. Okay. Yeah, that yes. Oh, for favorite song then. What's your favorite, you know, your go-to song, your song that's
Favorite song? That's crazy, man. Okay, so I'll just say right now my favorite song, because that's like I've got so many favorite songs, but right now, I would say, like, I was listening to the Bee Gees last night. I was
okay.
really digging it. And I was listening to Nobody Gets Too Much Anymore. Yeah, so right now that's my favorite songs. The
Okay.
Bee Gees.
I
Too
do
Much
want,
Heaven.
yeah, to, yeah, I'm, yeah, I remember, the Winans Phase 2 covered that on their album, but
Oh,
you know, my favorite song is Michael Jackson, "The Lady in My Life." And I thought everyone would have like, yeah, we've got our song that if you grew up, but you don't have one that you can like throughout the years that.
I love music. I love too many songs, way too much. And I have like for 3 months, I'll be crazy about a song, and then I'll move on to something else. And I'll remember, oh, I was crazy about this song. And I'll feel that same feeling when I listen to it again, but I'll definitely will like something else. Like, no, this is my shit now.
But thinking about throughout the 90s when you guys didn't left Pretty in Pink, did you have a group, female group, that you looked at and thought, wow, I really like how they, you know, taking female groups throughout the 90s? Was there a couple of groups that you really looked at and thought, oh, actually these?
Not from the 90s. Like I always love, like, I love Vanity Six. I do. I love SWV.
Okay.
SWV.
Okay. But you know, they weren't like you guys. I mean, dancers. I don't know if many R&B groups did the dancing
No,
stuff.
I think like the Spice Girls are the closest thing. And
No,
then they had like a few,
the Good Girls.
the Good Girls, but they weren't multicultural. They had this, I was just thinking, like, oh, that was that other group,
Oh, ex-girlfriend?
Pussycat, ex-girlfriend. Well, the Pussycat Dolls had,
Yeah, but ex-girlfriend wanted not much. Yeah, but I don't think many people really thought about having that type of concept of, you know, because you'd probably have, yeah, you it wasn't, it yeah, it yeah, it because none of the groups, most hardly any group, had that sort of made a concerted effort to try and fit in. Yeah, and so that does seem unique. We see reunions happen all the time. Would Pretty in Pink ever reunite and do a show or something?
I wouldn't be against it. I would definitely share the stage with them. I have no hard feelings. You know, that was a long time ago, so not gonna hurt anybody.
I think finally, actually, I did remember. For the was what I saw you recently was Versus singing.
Right. Right.
How was that for
That
you? Did you did you know?
was crazy. That was crazy. Well, yeah, but I did my best. Whoa.
You made worldwide news. Everyone says
Yeah,
yes.
I did. Not for things that I wanted to make worldwide news for, but
Oh, goodness.
such is life.
Yes. I mean, your mum recently, as I said, did you manage to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I did not. I did not go. Yeah, I wasn't there.
Yeah, okay. And you know, she's also came out with an album on SRG label and stuff. Would we ever see a daughter like you know when Natalie Cole did a duet
I'll
with
do
Natalie?
Unpredictable with her dad. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
cool.
would that ever be something that you guys would ever do?
I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it. If somebody came with the right situation,
Okay, so it wouldn't
let's
just
do
be
it.
like it wouldn't just be like your producer saying, "Okay, let's cut a track with your mom and stuff." It'll
Well,
be.
yeah, she never does that with me. Like, I worked with another producer, and we tried to get her to come in, and she was like, "I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it." So, I mean, what would motivate her is the situation. So, if the situation happens, that'll be cool.
Oh goodness, you know, parents are never, yeah, parents are all
Yes,
the same. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that we finally made it and being able to just to talk through and you know I urge the listeners to check out your album. What's the name? What's I mean, I know
it's
you're Icon, but Iconic?
iconic.
Iconic. It, yeah, as I said, really, really beautiful tracks. As I mentioned, you know, I went for Sea of Love, Cry at Night, Love Ship, Bye Bye, and as I said, there are lots of other songs, but those are the ones that really stood out to me. And it's really interesting to be able to put out a project out of love, but also out of love. Some of the songs, as you've mentioned, were during a tough time for you. And one of the things we know about music is how it can be a powerful healing tool for others who can listen and hear and think, oh my goodness, this is helping me through that right now.
Yes.
So yes, and so but as I said, when you do put on this show and get ready for tour, we will definitely let people know and put out
Please
the
do. Thank
dates and
you.
stuff. Yes,
Yeah, thank you.
yes. Well, I do appreciate everything, and yeah, it was good to see you. So, as I said, if the videos are out, that's definitely going to be interesting to be able to push out as well, because people really, you know, as I said, you've got some good songs and some, you know, getting legendary Dana Dane on a track, would surprise a lot of people. Like, oh my goodness, I forgot about him.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
because I saw it and
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, is that the Dana Dane, or is it
That
just?
part.
Yeah, I was thinking, no, that
Somebody
could.
else named
Yeah, well, I
it.
just thought like, no, that's not that, the name sounds too familiar to, but it just didn't seem to there was a connection. I was like, how did you just get him and stuff? But yeah. But yeah, well, I appreciate the time. And as I said,
Thank you.
hopefully it wasn't too long for you and everything, but look out for an opportunity.
No, my apologies for my internet situation. Like, this is crazy, but I got it together.
Yes, you did.
I'm literally in the corner, like, don't move.
No. Well, I had an interview a few weeks ago, and I think it was Storm and Wayne, and the person's internet connection kept c cutting in and out because of the weather. So, no, that's why. Yeah, I had planned to go live with this, but then I thought because of the situation of coming late and stuff, I had to say, "Look, I'll just pre-record it and be able to edit it later." So,
Awesome.
yeah,
Okay. That works.
okay.
Yeah,
Well, I appreciate it. And no, I wasn't asking how old you are. I was just asking how old you were when you signed. So
I got it now.
No, goodness, no. But anyway, guys, look out for the album on all major streaming services. I don't know if people ever want to get the physical copy. Are the CDs being sold, or is it just mainly the digital stuff?
well, I mean, if you're a DJ, I guess I'm giving out albums and things like that, but I don't think there are any CDs.
Okay.
No, there's some vinyl being printed up, but
Okay.
not.
Okay. So, and then there's a website or something for people to check.
For the vinyl or for
Yeah,
the.
apart from seeing you on social media, is there a place that they can keep track of?
Oh, I am in the process of that. But no, now it's just my social media folks, just Icon Official, Facebook and Instagram. But yes, I am in the process of putting that together. I do have a YouTube. I can't remember the. I think it's the Diva, Indira Khan, the Diva.
Okay.
So those are
Okay.
the things for now, people.
Okay. So we'll wait and see that. We'll wait and
Yes,
see.
be patient
Okay.
with
Well,
me.
I appreciate everything, and as I said, once we get the shows and videos, we'll definitely spread the word.
Thank you.
All right. Well, have a good evening and stuff.
You too.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for being a part of Halftime Chat. Please remember to subscribe, share, and comment. But most importantly, why don't you become a member of Halftime Chat? We've got amazing videos, amazing perks, and being able to support the channel. But anyway, thanks for watching. Take care.
I never participated in that kind of.
Hey, I'm somewhere in between.
For even loving us. On which I didn't miss you.
I'm with the
what was it like growing up?
She's still making an impact on 4 houses down.
Hell. I'm not, I have a couple pieces.
I didn't get this one and that one.
Well, that works for me, but just for me, I
No, okay, you're okay. Yep.
The only thing with those boys and women all spirits.
Play it.
I mean, I love all different genres.